Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. As one person has said it, and I'm going to say it again this evening. When you open up the Bible, you're opening up the mind of God. And we're going to find out what God wants us to hear about this evening in Colossians chapter 3. By the way, that person who says that, and I, if you ever go listen to sermons, Dr. Raymond Barber is the gentleman who says that, and I think it's a really good idea to really open up the Word of God with, is as you're opening up the Bible, you're just opening up what God really wants us to understand. I like that, how he just gets you set into the mood, and so I kind of want to adopt that in a sense. I'm not trying to copy him, that's why I'm giving him the credit, but as far as being able to help us understand, let's put aside everything that we're dealing with, and let's just find out what God wants us to think about this evening. So in Colossians chapter 3, and as you turn there, by way of introduction, the Christian life is full of choices that we will make on an everyday basis. Some are good, some are bad. It can be difficult to make the right choice at all the time when your flesh wants you to do something else that looks and feels so good. You think to yourself, I was here a couple of Sundays ago on the 16th of April, and you said something similar to this. Yes, I did. But you realize that the Bible doesn't only have just one place in which it says that. There's other places. You think it's important to the Lord that you do what's right and to abstain what's wrong? I think so. So this evening, tonight, we want to examine the question of what to do and what not to do and see how we can overcome this war within ourselves. So to do or not to do, you think to yourself, well, I got that easy. I already know what to do. I already know what to do what's right. Well, then let's just remind you then. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, sometimes I'm not sure. Maybe I struggle with a certain thing. Well, we'll see what it looks like tonight and see how we can overcome that. Colossians chapter 3, let's just look at verse number 1. We're going to look at the entire chapter. You think you're going to preach long? Probably not. But it's 25 verses, and there's a lot packed into all these. We're going to look at them and give it due diligence here. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." I encourage you this evening, as we look into the Bible, we look into the Word of God, I encourage us to understand this. Seek the things which are God-honoring, not flesh-pleasing. To do or not to do, that is the question. To do right or to do wrong? We're going to look at that in Colossians chapter 3 this evening. Father, as we look into your Word, help us as we understand it. Help us as we grow thereby. And I pray this evening that if there's someone in here who doesn't know you as Savior, that Father, today, they would just come to trust you as Savior. For those who do know you, that we be encouraged and strengthened this evening. Help us to set aside the things that may distract us as we look into your Word this evening. Father, I pray that you just help me as I preach. Help it to be clear. Help it to be easy to be understood. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to put money down just a hair because I feel like I'm bouncing off of it. Okay, there we go. I feel like I'm not as bound and not booming as much as I was. So, Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at four different ideas here. And these are alliterated in a sense where it begins with an A and a D. And I never do this a lot, so it was quite difficult to try to put up some ideas to try to help us remember these things tonight of questions to do or not to do. But first of all, in verses 1 through 4, we're going to see an affectionate desire. We're going to see what it is that God wants us to do, what God wants us to set our minds to. Verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ." So there's a qualifier then. If you are risen with Christ, if you are saved, this is going to apply to you. So if you're saved in this building tonight, this is talking to you. "If ye then be risen with Christ, then what? Seek." Seek those things. Worship. Plot. Plan to find. That's the idea here behind seek. Seek those things which are above. Seek the things that are heavenly. Why? where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So as a Christian, we ought to set things that are heaven-minded, not earth-focused. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So, don't be satisfied with the things down here. Affection has this idea of to exercise the mind, to entertain, to have a sentiment or opinion, or opinion or interest in oneself. So set your opinion, set your mind, exercise, entertain your mind, think about things that are above. You want to think things that will honor and give glory to God, not things that are going to satisfy you down here. Verse number 3. For ye are dead. Doesn't mean that you're dead physically. No, you're dead to the old life, and you're living. And how do I know that? Well, we keep reading. We're going to figure that out. But you're dead to the old nature. You have a new nature because you're saved. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are dead to the things of this earth because we should be looking forward to the return of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened means to make alive. 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You walked in your flesh, you walked in your old nature, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, a reference to the devil, a reference to Satan. Verse 3, among whom also we have had our conversation or our life, our conversation or our lifestyle in times past when the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So you're no longer serving sin, or you should not be serving sin. You should be serving on things above, setting your life toward Christ because your life is hid. You're secure in Jesus Christ. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So we see the return of Christ is referenced here. When he comes, he's going to bring us up together. He's going to bring us up into glory to be with him because he is our life. He is our security that we can rest our hope and our trust in. And I hope you've done that this evening, those who are here, those viewing by way of Facebook and later on YouTube. I hope your life is hid with Christ, that you have that eternal salvation, that security that you need. So we see that as a believer, we should be looking on things that are God-honoring. But what causes us to lose our focus? What causes us to have this dilemma? Well, in verses 5 through 9, first we see an affectionate desire. Secondly, we're going to see an atrocious dilemma. And that's in verses 5 through 9. Verse 5. Now we're going to start to see the balance between the old man and the new man. Verse 5. First word is mortify. That means to subdue or to control. Kill off, you could say. Mortify. Kill off. Get rid of your members which are upon the earth. And now there's a laundry list here of things that people have done that are associated with things that are not honoring God. First thing there is fornication. That would be the marital act before you're married. I have the only child in here is my baby and Ellie, so I'll be careful with this. But basically, you know, doing things that you're not supposed to do before you're married. Okay? That's an act of the world. Fornication, cannot do it. And another thing to look upon that is the Greek word behind that is porneia, which is where we get the term pornography in the English language. Viewing that, that's a lust of the flesh. You have fornication. You cannot do that. Next one is uncleanness, having this impurity. Not only not having immorality before marriage, but impurity, things that are not right. Continuing on, inordinate affection is having this passion for things that are wrong. Another idea here is evil concupiscence, or concupiscence is a bad lust or longing for someone, basically wanting to do something that can essentially harm someone else. Well, I haven't done any of those things. Well, I'm glad you haven't. But there are people who have. But how about this? And covetousness. Covetousness, wanting something that's not yours. Now we've gone out of things that most people generally will not do. But now we're hitting some things at home that could be something that we do. Covetousness. This idea of, again, greediness, jealousy, wanting something that isn't yours. What happens with that? Which is idolatry, verse 5 continues. Verse 6, for which things sake, the things in verse 5, fornication, uncleanness, all that, sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. God's wrath is going to come on that. And we talked about this morning about chastening and scourging. The fact that God does not like the things that cause us to sin. And if we're doing these things that are causing us to draw and fall away from our relationship with the Lord, God, I expect God to come and chasten. Verse 7. In the which ye also lived, ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You did used to have these things come at you because that's all you knew. The world teaches, hey, you know what? I can live my life the way I want to. I'm just going to live free and do whatever I want. And then there's a lot of regret. That ought not to be our focus. That ought not to be our mindset. Verse number 8. But now going to a different list in here, we have some of these other members that should be cut off. Now he's going to get into more things that maybe you and I will deal with on a daily basis here. So he says in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Divorce, cut off. Number 1, anger. Anger here has a desire or a violent passion or punishment. The Bible does say, be angry and sin not. This anger is acting upon that and harming somebody verbally or could go into physicality. Wrath. Wrath is this badness, this malignity, this desire to injure. And not ashamed to do it, not ashamed to break a law. You just want to do it just because you willy-nilly want to do it. God doesn't want us to do that. Malice has this wickedness, this naughtiness, just kind of building upon another. Blasphemy, evil speaking or railing, saying something negative against God or negative against other people. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Cursing, swearing, saying things like, oh my, and then finishing it out. A lot of people do that today. A lot of people use Jesus as a swear word. Hopefully that's not in you. God doesn't want us to curse. God does not want us to have filthy communication. Because there's enough of it out there today. I remember a time, and you probably, some of you would know better than I would, where you would be able to watch a TV show and you would never, ever suspect anybody having a swear word. Not at all. Not even in like the younger kid shows, those little PG shows. You used to never hear any of that. But now, it's in there almost all the time. It's almost accepted as common practice. How shameful. Used to be said that only sailors and tough men would swear and curse, but they would never swear in front of their women and children. And now the women and children do that. What shame. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Something that ought not to be so to a Christian. So we see, first of all, that we have an acceptable desire, an affectionate desire to look on things above. Secondly, we see this atrocious dilemma of all these things that God's going to want us to do. And it kind of continues in a little more so. Verse 9 says, this lie not one to another. How many people lie? Fortunately, a lot of people do that. But it's a white lie. It's something small. It's still a lie. Still sin. A lot of pulpits don't even want to preach on sin today. They just want to make you feel good. They want you to be encouraged. They want you to get out of your seat, be all jumpity-hippity-hooray. If this church ever became that, I'm walking out those doors and putting in my resignation letter. I want to come into church, find out that I need to be preached at, I need something to change in my life, and I want to leave out those doors better changed and on fire for the Lord than I did when I came into those doors. I don't mind being told that, hey, what you're doing is wrong. What you do wrong, Well, it's between me and the Lord. I'm not going to say it out here. The point is that all of us struggle with certain things. Why? Because we're sinners. We're in the flesh. There's things that we go through on an everyday basis. But I'd rather be told, hey, here's where you need to change. And I'm willing to change. I don't need no fluffy duffy hippity hooray stuff. Leave that to something else. Maybe leave that to a conference. Leave that to something else. I don't want that in a preaching service. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man with his deeds. We need to rid our mind of the things that will cause us to stumble. But what can we do to override these awful things? We have an affectionate desire to seek things above. We have an atrocious dilemma of all these sins that try to weigh us down. But in verses 10 to 17, we see an admirable desire. What is that? Verse 10. And ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The new man, the saved person. What causes us to be renewed? I submit to you the Holy Spirit comes into your life and dwells with you and causes you to do things that are right, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And there is no difference, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Doesn't matter who you are, anybody can get saved, anybody can have their lives changed. Verse 12, put on therefore, you put off, now put on. What do we need to put on? Well, here's some Christian character traits you can put on. Put on therefore, verse 12, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, this tender mercies, having a compassion or a care for other people, this kindness. You know, some people just like to be kind. There's not a lot of kindness out there today. Just go out driving and wait at a red light, and the light turns green for about 2 seconds. Where you hear? Honk. I mean, literally, the light just turns green, and you get this honk at your... It's like, come on, the light just turned green. Are you in a hurry? Or even better, when you get cut off when you're driving. Don't you enjoy that? No, you don't. I just say, okay, bless you. Just I hope you don't get hurt. But don't do this again to someone else. Be kind. We need more kindness. Humbleness of mind, verse 12 continues. Being humble, setting ourselves low, allowing to be molded, to be crafted. Meekness doesn't mean to be weak. I believe that was even talked about Wednesday night, so I'm not going to even get into that more. But being gentle is the idea. Long-suffering is patience. Isn't it hard to be patient sometimes? It really is. Some nights, I wish that my daughter would fall asleep. Okay? You think, well, she's only 5 weeks old. I know. Okay? But we've gotten to this point where we can try to get her to go to sleep. And it's like once you're about ready to get her to sleep, like you're rubbing, you're kind of doing the things that you would do, and she's just about ready to go to sleep. And then she sneezes. And she's up. I'm like, try it again. Go through the whole routine. Next thing you know, she does a little movement. Her hand hits her hands wail and then hit her in the face. And she's up again. It's like, baby girl, we want you to go to sleep. Daddy wants to go to sleep. Mommy wants to go to sleep because I know you're going to wake up in 5 hours crying, wanting to be fed again. But let's get to sleep now. I have things to do in the morning. And you kind of think, why don't you go to sleep? I know you're only 5 weeks old. But she has slept very well. The first 2 weeks was a little interesting because I would be her bed for 3 hours and she'd feed and then I'd be her bed again. And now she sleeps in her bassinet, but she gives like 5-6 hours. But you know what? That's good. I hear some parents don't even get that luxury with their first kid in the first couple of weeks. So I'm blessed that God allowed that to happen. But it's the getting to sleep part that sometimes gets a little hard. And those of you as parents, you know that feeling. So long-suffering, being patient, knowing that, hey, she's going to go to sleep. It just may not be as quickly as you want it. Verse 13, forbearing one another, putting up with people. Sometimes it's just hard to put up with certain people. And you probably can think of somebody in your mind right now. I have nobody in mind, no one in this building that I'm thinking of. So I'm not thinking of you. But there have been times in which I have thought, and this is more with me being in the workforce and all that, and grocery stores and whatnot. You're thinking to yourself, oh man, I got to work with that person. You don't know what that person has done. But you have to put up with them. You got to work with them. Why? Well, let's continue. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Why should we do all this? If any man have a quarrel, have strife, have conflict with you. Notice what the verse says. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I should forgive that co-worker. I should forgive that neighbor who does this, who beats down on me when I'm trying to do something or slams my roof. I remember living in an apartment building with my wife a couple of months ago. And if we would drop something, I was telling Brother Joe this yesterday, we would accidentally drop something. Drop something. Something that light sometimes. And the next thing you know, she would take whatever she has and I'm like, I can't help that the floors are hollow. I can't. That's the way they designed the building. As far as I know, in apartment buildings, they don't make soundproof floors or condos. I mean, maybe they do. I just lived in the wrong place. But, I mean, if you're living in an apartment building, you're most likely going to have, especially if someone's living above you or living below you, you're generally going to get some sort of noise, some way, shape, or form. So I can't just be walking around like this. I have to walk, okay? Now, I don't have to stomp my feet everywhere, but I have to walk. And even when I was walking normally, I'd hit that vroom, slamming up against our floor. It's like, I can't. Eventually, she moved out, and I was okay. And we talked before she moved out, and I explained to her what was going on. She was finally okay with that. I told her, I was like, I'm not trying to make your life miserable. But sometimes there's just that person that maybe we just have to forgive. Even though they're bothering us, what does our verse say? Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It's written up there. If I say it wrong, you know what is up there. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. Other traits that the new man has is having peace with God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Have love that completes everything. Be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of God Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Allow the word of God to permeate and go into your mind, into your thoughts, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Allow the music that's there to just uplift you and encourage you. Verse 17, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Anything you do, give thanks to God. We do it every time at meals. I do it at the end of the day before I go to bed. I'm very thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful to be at a church that preaches the word of God. I'm thankful I'm at a church that allows me to be the assistant pastor. They could vote me out in one shot if they wanted to. I'm glad you haven't kicked me out yet. I'm very thankful for my marriage, for my wife, and for my daughter. Lots of things that I thank God for every single day. And I will continually thank God for that. I mean, those of you who've been here a long time, I've always talked about the desire to be married. And it only took 13 years after college to make that happen. But I'm glad I'm glad I waited all those years to do that. And I'm thankful that God did that. So now we see that we should have an admirable desire. desire here, an admirable desire to serve the Lord and to and to do what he wants us to do. Now, finally, we're going to see some practicalities here. We should live for the new man. We should live like Christ. But what's the examples we can follow out? Finally, we're going to see an acceptable desire, an acceptable willingness to do and live out these practicalities. And that's in verses 18 to 25. Verse 18 says this, "Husbands, submit yourselves unto your wives." Let me read that again. It says up there, "Wives." I said husbands. Let's try it again. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Submitting here has this idea to obey, to place unto authority, or to submit, to subordinate. Work well together. That's what he wants. That's what he wants us to do. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as fit in the Lord. That way you can keep the unity. 18, 19. "Husbands, two things for the husband, one for the wife. Submit. Two things for the husbands. Number one, love your wives." Men, sometimes it's hard to love, especially your wife. What does the Bible command us to do? Love. It doesn't command a woman to love their husband. You'll never find that in Scripture. I mean, you'll see the desire to be to him in Genesis after childbearing, but you will never see in the Scripture where it commands the wife to love their husband. It just says to submit. Husbands, it tells us to love our wives. And he doesn't stop there. "Be not bitter against them." I have seen, working in grocery stores, I have seen examples of where you have the wife doing whatever it is, probably an unsaved lady, but she's just, "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." And the husband's just like this. "Yes, dear. Yes, dear." I'm thinking to myself, is he either very miserable or what's going on? And it just doesn't seem like that he's reciprocating. Now, again, I could be completely wrong. I could be misreading it. But it doesn't seem like he's reciprocating the same kind of love back that he should. Maybe he's bitter about something that she has done toward him. I don't know. But we ought not to be bitter to our wives, to exasperate, to irritate her, to render angry. Don't be bitter against your wives. Husbands, verse 20. "Children, obey your parents in all things." Notice how it says all things. You're out to obey them in all things. Why? "For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." God enjoys when children honor their parents. 21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." Provoke. Don't stimulate them to anger. Stir up or excite them. Don't be like, "Hey, I want you to hate me as much as you can today." No, dads, we ought not to do that. Why? Well, here's a reason. Lest they be discouraged. We don't want to put our children down. You know, this is completely off the idea. I read an article a few weeks ago, and I told this to my wife, and she laughed, that it actually helps children if you say dad jokes in front of them. You think to yourself, dad jokes are corny. Yes, they are. But what it does is it helps them with their self-esteem. It helps them to not feel awkward or embarrassed in front of public. So dads, if you do dad jokes, continue with them, because it's going to help your child to develop. That's basically what the article came out to. Because it helps with that social awkwardness and things like that. So I would rather tell dad jokes instead of provoking my child to anger. Because I don't want them to get discouraged. I want my daughter to feel comfortable and confident in herself. I'm not going to find a way to just make her feel discouraged. And that's what the pastor tells us. Verse 22. Servants, those who are workers, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. Don't be trying to perform jobs just so that way the employer can see you so you can get the raise. Do the job because you need to do the job. As men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Singleness, with sincerity, do your work with mental honesty, with generosity. Why? To do what? To honor God. Verse 23, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Piggybacking off of 22. Do things to serve God. Don't do it just to get other people's praise. Read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. You'll find out the reason why you don't do that. Verse 24, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." This is the reason why we do things, to serve and honor Christ. Last verse, and we'll be done. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. There is no favoritism. God accepts everybody the way they are. We shouldn't have favorites. Oh, this is the person I want to be with more. No, we need to accept everybody. Doesn't matter how weird they may be. Doesn't matter how, whatever this excuse may be, we got to accept and enjoy everybody. What choice will you make? What choice will you choose to do or not to do? Will you choose to set your affection on things above to put on a new man, or will you choose to follow the old man, follow the sins of the flesh? It is a battle, and it happens every day. May we choose to do what is right and avoid sin as much as we can. When we do sin, do not let it linger. Ask God to forgive it right away or before the day is out. Set your desires on heavenly things, not earthly things. Father, as we come to you in prayer, we thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity we had to be here together, and I pray that you would just help us this evening as we seek to honor you, that you would just help us in our hearts, that we can serve you, that we can love you, that we can be able to just see what you have for us. Help us to honor you, that your name would be glorified, and that we can just show you the praise and show people who you are and what we do and what we say. Because people can't see our hearts. You do, but they can see through the outside whether we are a child of God or not. Father, I pray that you would just bless and move in this invitation time. I just pray that you would just help us, that we would choose to rather have Jesus than anything. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. And the music is just going to play, but the invitation is simple. If God's spoken to your heart, I encourage you to come up to an old-fashioned altar. I can pray with you, someone can pray with you, or you can pray with yourself, or you can pray there in your seats. But as the piano starts to play, just want to take that time to have a quiet time that you can just talk to the Lord, or come and talk to one of us, and we'd be more than willing to pray with you or talk to you. Close the service here, but the invitation is open. God's spoken to your heart, or you just want someone to talk with or pray with, I'll be available after the service. My wife will be available as much as she can. Abigail, you can just say hi to her. She will say nothing back, but she'll be available too. But we encourage you to come back Wednesday night, looking at the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, and then the ladies' fellowship this Saturday at 12 o'clock. Encourage you ladies to be there. And then next Sunday is Mother's Day. Encourage you to bring yourself, bring a mother and mothers. Be ready with your requests in the evening service for your favorite hymn. We'll pray and then we'll be dismissed with a chorus of Lord Be Glorified. Father, I pray that you just help us now as we move out from this building tonight, that you keep us safe on the roadways and help us just to rather have Jesus in anything, that we can be like you and that we can be found faithful and that we can be more like you, and help us to have you be glorified in our hearts today. Keep us safe as we head out. Bring us back here again another time. We ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen.